Our scripture is found on page 426 of the Pew Bibles. It is Psalm 95, the first seven verses. Before I read the scripture, as you are looking for it, I just want to lift up that Earth Day began in 1970 by Senator Gaylord Nelson of Wisconsin, because as he said, we have only one Earth, so we need to take care of her. They estimate that 20 million people celebrated that first Earth Day all over the U.S., and that it led to advocacy from a movement that ended in some legislation, such as the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act and the Endangered Species Act. Nelson was given the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award in recognition of his work. And while Earth Day is now celebrated all over the world, more than 150 nations, the Christian tradition has been celebrating Earth and praising with the Earth from the beginning. And so in celebration of Earth Day and the knowledge that this has always been who we are, hear these words from Psalm 95, the first seven verses. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. In his hands are the depths of the earth. In his hands are the depths of the earth. He's got the whole world in his hands, we sang. The itty-bitty babies, the fish and the birds, the flowers and the trees, you and me, the whole world to the depths of the earth in his hands. On this earth, though, that is so lovingly held in God's hands, each of us have places that are especially near and dear to our hearts. Special places, maybe that we go to visit on vacation. The sea or the mountain peaks. Maybe places that we visited growing up and have fond memories of. A park or forest, a lake or river. Perhaps the town or the neighborhood that is of our childhood. These places, our places, where we live and work, where we visit, allow us, connect us to our family and friends, old and new, our teachers, other church members, but also to other creatures, like deer and squirrels and hawks and songbirds and fish. Places connect us to nature, to the landscape, trees and plants, and to the sky. We are connected through place, these places, to the culture, our language and accents, our customs are very specific to our place. Places teach us science, the seasons, the circles of life, biology, botany, math, physics, and all that and more. We learn our place also. We learn our faith also through place. The mystery of God, God's power, beauty, peace, death, and resurrection. We don't just live in a place. We don't just visit a place. Places become a part of us, of who we are, and we carry places in our hearts and minds, whether we realize it or not. The place we grew up or live in determines pretty much how and what we eat. In Kentucky, we have particular foods that you can't really find anywhere else, like beer cheese or hot browns or L81. There's many other foods that are found just in our region, like pimento cheese and the fruit pawpaws. Place defines us, who we are, what we value, what we like and don't like, our favorite colors and sports and pastimes. Place helps determine how we see and understand the world. It is the lens we use to interpret life. This sense of place, we call it, this feeling and understanding emerges not only from our landscapes and flora and fauna and climate, but also from history and legends and music and architecture and food and language and religious beliefs. Our sense of place here in Kentucky really has traditionally been very strong. As an adult, Scripture records that Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Because during his ministry, as we read in Scripture, he was always on the move. He stayed in the homes of friends and families, but he didn't have a home of his own or even a room to call his own. And while we really don't know what Jesus did during the missing years, that period of time from when he was 12 years old to 30, surely he spent some of it at the ocean, as the Mediterranean Sea was not far away. But during his ministry years, as recorded in Scripture, we know that the Sea of Galilee, which is a very large lake, was very central to his life. He was frequently in, around, or on the Sea of Galilee. It influenced, of course, what he ate, the occupation of some of the disciples, where he spent his time. Probably his comfort level was really high on the water and boats and all that goes along with spending time on a large lake. Jesus, though, was also always surrounded by hills and mountains, and that's where he went for solitude and prayer. This landscape of big lake with mountains all around influenced how Jesus experienced life. Jesus, as you know, grew up in Nazareth, a town at that time of about 400 people. The town, when you look at it on a map, is in a long bowl surrounded by green hills. It's about 12 miles from the Sea of Galilee, about 4.5 miles from Mount Tabor, its tallest peak, and about 20 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. Nazareth is sunny most days. They don't get a lot of rain there, and it's rarely very hot or very cold. The lows are in the 50s, the highs are in the 70s and 80s. The diet was and is what we would call a Mediterranean diet. Jesus would have eaten a lot of olives and olive oils, of course, but also fish and nuts and dates and lentils and fruits and vegetables and wine. Archaeologists just recently, a couple of years ago, confirmed that the place in Nazareth that has been revered for centuries and centuries as Jesus' childhood home could indeed be his home. Now, there's no way to know for 100% certainty, but it has been protected for hundreds of years by a convent, and the nuns took great care of this place, and so that many of the home's original features, like doors and windows, are still intact. But the recent excavation of this site has revealed that it is a courtyard house, particularly hewn out of stone from naturally occurring rock, partially constructed then on the outside with rock walls. They unearthed pot shards and sewing materials, all dated to the first century. And because of the type of materials and what they're made of, it is believed that it was definitely a Jewish family. So knowing where Jesus grew up there in Nazareth and this particular home near a big lake surrounded by mountains, eating the foods that he ate, allows us to kind of get a better understanding and feel for the sense of place for Jesus and the Holy Family. Our sense of place, whether we're children or adults, greatly determines who we are and how we see the world. But unfortunately for a growing percentage of our population, that sense of place is being lost. Because on any given day in the United States, we can drink coffee from Guatemala, eat bananas from Ecuador, wear clothes made in Bangladesh and Taiwan, while sheltered in a home that is manufactured at least in part in China. The average U.S. adult devotes about 10 hours a day consuming media of various forms. 87% of our time is spent inside a building and 6% more inside a vehicle. Most people do not spend any time hiking or even sitting in nature regularly. My grandmother could name every plant, tree, and wildflower as we would walk in the mountains of eastern Kentucky, but honestly, I can't identify much past goldenrod and oak trees. Most people don't grow any food anymore, even tomatoes or herbs. Most people do not prepare their own meals. Most people don't attend any cultural events like plays or concerts or visit museums. How many people who live among us have lives that really could take place anywhere because they have absolutely no real connection to a particular place? I love trees. I fell in love with the home where we live right now because of all the trees. Walking in the woods or sitting under trees brings peace to my spirit. And then research has shown over and over in various studies that people who live in the country or spend regular time in nature are less likely to experience anxiety and depression. They have a better outlook on life than people who live in cities and suburbs and don't spend time outside. The more that we disconnect from place, the more we become lost, and the more physical, emotional, and spiritual problems we have. But a few years ago, we realized that the ash trees around our house were infected with the emerald ash borer. We have now lost about 100 trees on our property. So that made me go and look up this week about the emerald ash borer in Kentucky. And in Kentucky, we have lost several million trees. And in the United States, that number is in the hundreds of millions of trees. This has changed, of course, how my home looks, and also our state and our nation. But even more importantly, all of those trees were part of God's beautifully designed system to clean our air and provide us with oxygen. And these hundreds of millions of trees are not the only ones in the United States that have been lost. Because of the forest fires that were the worst in history out west this past year, they have also lost hundreds of millions. And then when we add on the world loss of trees, we're talking 27 soccer fields cut down every minute. Every minute. Last week during our prayer time, I invited us to write down a community problem that was particularly important to us, that issue that we carry in our heart of hearts. And I wrote down climate change. It is a huge problem. Air, water, soil pollution, there's so many things, deforestation, mountaintop removal, endangered animals and plants, health issues that come from climate, garbage, food waste, etc. The issues are overwhelming. But I've come to realize that the more disconnected that we become from the natural world, from all that God created, the less likely we are to care if anybody saves the planet. If we don't have a sense of place, we won't care what happens to it. In Jesus' time, the synagogues were almost always located by a running body of water so that people could purify themselves before they came in for worship. And then after Jesus' resurrection, those same streams and rivers became the places that people were baptized into the Christian faith. When I wanted to baptize some youth at my former church in the creek near the church, the same creek that Barton Stone started that church by baptizing people in, I was told it was too polluted and that we would likely become sick. The waters that used to purify for worship or baptize people into the faith are now so contaminated that people and creatures can become sick. Care of the earth is a matter of life, but it's also a matter of faith. Maybe you know this, but Kentucky has more navigable miles of water than any other state other than Alaska. It's huge. Over 90,000 miles of streams provides us with the most expansive and complex stream system in our nation. For any of it to be anything but pristine is irreverent and blasphemous to our God. Our sense of place, our connection to creation and history and culture, where we live, is critical to having any chance of saving the planet. And so I thought I would tell you just a little bit today about our old Kentucky home. I hope much of it you already know, but maybe it'll refresh a little bit. Besides the rivers and streams thing that I just told you, the Red River Gorge is one of Kentucky's most visited places. If you haven't been there, you should go. Jefferson Memorial Forest, which is right outside of Louisville, is the largest municipally run forest in the United States. I did not know that. Mammoth Cave is the world's longest known cave system. Cumberland Falls is the only place in the Western Hemisphere where you can see a moon bow regularly. Kentucky has been part of the two most successful wildlife reintroduction systems in the U.S. with both elk and wild turkey. Both of them, well, elk were completely extinct in this area. Wild turkey got down to a very, very small number. Also, the female gray wolf was seen in 2013. It was the first verified seeing of that species in modern times. As you know, our state is divided into 120 counties. The largest county, though, is Pike County. The most populous is, of course, Jefferson County. Old Louisville is the largest historic preservation district in the U.S. that features Victorian architecture. St. James Court Art Show is the largest outdoor art show in the U.S. Our culture is heavily influenced by German, Scottish, English, and Irish cultures, which you can see everywhere, including the rock fences. Kentucky has always been known for excellent farming conditions. A lot of people settled here because of that. We have been huge growers through the years of hemp, tobacco, corn, soybeans, hay, and wheat. And the very first commercial winery in the United States of America is right here in Jessamine County. The high calcium content of our soil is the reason that we are the horse capital of the world and host the biggest day in racing, the Kentucky Derby. It is also the reason that we are probably the supplier of the world's bourbon. We have more cows now than horses and a very fast-growing number of goats and sheep. Kentucky ranks fourth among U.S. states in the number of automobile and truck assembly plants. I did not realize that. Bowling Green, of course, is home to the only assembly plant for the Corvette. Fort Knox houses a large portion of the United States official gold reserves. Transylvania University, some of us in this room call that our home, is the oldest university west of the Allegheny Mountains, founded in 1780. Berea College was the first coeducational college in the South to admit black and white students. Kentucky was the first state to adopt a Civil Rights Act in the South. Did not know that. Abraham Lincoln was born here. Bill Monroe, the father of bluegrass, was born in Ohio County. And many, many acclaimed writers call Kentucky home, making Kentucky a major player in Southern and American literature, including, of course, Wendell Berry and Barbara Kingsolver, but many, 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 many others. Kentucky is, for most of us, the greatest place on earth. And for many of us, we cannot imagine ever choosing to live anywhere else. This is God's country, we say. In His hand are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Let us worship our Maker and Creator of the heavens and earth by growing and sharing our sense of this place with our family and with our friends. Let us live out our faith by protecting this, our common home. Amen.